Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, 806 in the Town Fair Tire Studios. And if there is a voice that needs to lift us up this morning, I think I have found it. I think it is somebody that he's been quietly away from the station, and hopefully he'll be back soon. Somebody that whose presence I miss. I know I miss every day and every morning, and I know Dan does.
I'm sorry. What? Say that again.
A very large presence.
Did you say, Rich, did you say something?
Of all the things that we've talked about this morning, that last sentence got the best reaction all.
Honestly, quite possibly one of my favorite human beings on the planet.
Mine too.
We've missed the hell out of him, and hopefully he'll be back soon.
I've been in communication with Bird a lot of late.
Oh, that's right, Mr. Bird. That's right. We all love Bird. B to the R to the R to the D. And more than anything, I miss the Dude and Bird podcast. Remember Great Moments Such as this?
Hey, dude, would you like to come work out with me?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. Go by Great Boston Fitness and get a quick workout in.
Sounds good. Where are we going?
Whenever you want. We'll go right after the podcast. And after our workout, we can have a Great Boston Fitness shake.
Ooh, are they any good?
Yeah, they're great.
Ooh, I'll definitely take one of those.
All right.
Dude, I heard they have a 20,000 square foot facility. Or at least that's what I read on greaterbostonfit.com.
Yes, it's all true. They have a variety of equipment and knowledgeable staff.
Cool, so they're there to help.
Yes, they are. Keeping us active for our show, Great Boston Fitness, we build people.
All right.
Dude, I'll definitely take one of those.
Yeah, I read about that at greaterbostonfitness.com, the website everyone's going to.
I miss that podcast, too. Who's in the bird cage? Who's the slamming slew banger of the week? I miss all of that.
I know who it is this week.
I bet you do.
So that's the thing, is that I missed it. Like, Dude and Bird had this chemistry that it was undeniable. And I have advocated, and Bird knows this, I have gone to management, like, non-ironically, and said, give these guys a show. Like, I would listen to them on the weekend. I said, you know what? Put Bird with somebody like, I've even said you, Joe. It's like, put him with Joe and let these two guys talk, because I got to be honest, no one is like Bird and no one is like Joe. Like, and to be quite honest, like, I'm fascinated by Bird's life. I mean, you know, he's the king of Everett. Everyone knows that. Everyone loves Bird. And the Dude and Bird show was just, it was one of my favorites. It was one of the rare podcasts that I would actually listen through all the way. And you know what? God bless Bird, because he has returned to the podcast world.
Sweet.
Bird is back. I think we've, and you know what? Could he have picked a better time to return? The Dude and Bird show, however, is no more. Dude is not around anymore. This is something that he was not able to wrangle his old buddy back.
Uh-oh.
Bird?
What happened to the dude? That's not good.
He's a professor now.
Oh.
Which is, by the way, the greatest sideline.
Regis, that's right. It's Regis. I remember this.
So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the very first Bird Show podcast. Let's take a listen.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bird. This is my podcast. Anywho, with Bird. That's right. I'm flying solo. So the Dude and Bird show's officially over. Plus, the dude's a professor, as I said before.
Stop it. Once again, that's the greatest.
Hi, I'm Bird. This is my podcast. There's no better way to start it.
There's no better way to start it.
Not 1 second of cheesy production. You know what? He's doing everything I want in a podcast. Just get to the point. Exactly. I don't want to hear your 15-minute intro with the slick. Get right to, hey, it's Bird. That's all I want to hear. Get right to you talking. There's no distracting music in the background.
Yeah.
And although I would like to hear him a little more chipper. He seems very depressed that the dude is not with him.
Yeah.
So, plus, the dude's a professor, as I said before.
Yeah, you have said before. All right. Let's. I want to give him a hug, man. I'm listening to this. I'm like, dude, you don't sound too happy. Let's take a listen.
Plus, the dude's a professor, as I said before. He's doing his thing at Reader's College. I'm doing my thing. We just really haven't been linking up. Plus, you got the whole virus and quarantine thing going on still. So, yeah, Dude and Bird show is done. Hate to say it, but, you know, had a blast with the dude. Great kid, great guy. We both went in different directions, and that's life. What can you do?
Anywho.
So.
Stop.
It's like the Beatles broke up.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Different directions. You know, went this way or that way. And I love how it was just like, anywho. His whole entire, like, totally.
Anywho.
Right, it's almost like he's got his own. You know how, like, in TV shows where you hear the little music play that changes scenes?
Anywho.
The next scene. Yeah, that's him. He's got his own built-in scene changer. Anywho. And it can be a completely different mood, completely different topic. All right, is that how it ended? Is that how the intro
Anywho.
Ended there, Dan?
So.
Okay. Anyway, so.
It ended with so.
Okay, yeah, so he goes on to the next thing. Somebody's saying, I need Mike behind the mic and Bird with a podcast together. Now, that would not be bad. Although, to be quite honest, Bird solo is something that I'm he's only got one so far. I'll tweet it out because Bird worked hard on this, so I'm going to make sure I tweet it out. Listen, I have been pushing him to do one because I've been like, listen, Joe Murray's got it figured out. Joe Murray's done a great job. Joe Murray's been like, all right, well, if I'm on the air every day, I'm going to be doing a podcast every day because I'm staying polished, I'm staying tight, and his show is really good. And he does it, you know, just sitting there with Joe Murray, does it, I think, every day at noon, isn't that right?
That's right.
All right, so who consulted Bird? Would that be you, Joe?
Yes, actually, I helped him with a program, gave him some ideas, and he's got it all in his brain. He just needs to get it out.
What exactly ideas did you give him?
I gave him a program to use so he can edit it.
Oh, I thought you meant like topics.
No,
because...
We discussed topics. He already Anywho. Had them.
Okay, because Joe
and I helped him with the name. Anywho with Bird.
Okay, Anywho.
I would like you just to hear. I know we have to break here, but I'll let you just hear the first topic that he came up with. Let's let the second clip roll.
The snack I have is Snack Factory, Pretzel Crisps, Thin Crunchy Pretzel Crackers. This is everything deli style. I'm going to try one right meow, and then see how it goes.
Okay, stop. First of all, I couldn't understand the name of the snack that he's eating. And did he say pencil in there?
The snack I have is Snack Factory.
Yeah, but then after that, it's a Snack Factory something.
The snack I have is Snack Factory. Pretzel crisps. Thin crunchy.
Pretzel crisps.
Pretzel crisps.
Oh, pretzel
crisps.
Pretzel crisps. Okay, let it roll.
Pretzel crisps. Thin crunchy pretzel crackers. This is everything deli style. I'm going to try one right meow. And let's see how it goes. And it's gluten-free. Perfect for me. Woo! Delicious. I like it. Oh, yeah. I'm going to crush this whole bag.
Must be good.
I taste the sesame seeds, the garlic, the onion. Obviously, the salt. Oh, yeah. Out of 0 cents to a dollar, I will give this 92 cents. Real good. This is delicious. Oh, yeah. Anywho. Anywho.
4 minutes down, a lifetime to go.
Anywho.
That's the sound of a dude just eating food and recording it.
No. It's product placement. It's a
if
review.
I knew what the hell the product was.
It's a review. It's a review of a product. Somewhere. What's wrong with that? On every show, he's going to start eating. There's no problem with that.
I mean, this is what the world needs now.
Yes.
I mean, there's chaos everywhere, but we got Bird. That's right. Yeah. We have Bird's any hoop of where he just eats food for an entire second. But that is not the end of it, and we will get to that, obviously, a little bit later on. But we have a very special guest that we're going to have on with us. Not only is there some NBA news going on to discuss, but on top of that, A'Sherrod Blakely was with Marcus Smart yesterday, who was down at the protests. And we are going to have from NBC Sports Boston, our good friend, Mr. A'Sherrod Blakely, and we'll talk to him about all things basketball and, of course, everything that happened yesterday. We will do that right after this.
Anywho.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation. Foundation.org to get involved.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it's not right, you know, so we wanted to come out here and let our voice be heard because we stand for the truth and we stand for justice. And we won't stop until we get justice. And that's really what this is about. And, you know, I just want to say to everyone who thinks this is something more than it is, it's not. You know, despite color or gender, the truth is the truth. Justice is justice, and justice hasn't been served. And people are pissed off about it. So we're here to keep, you know, George Floyd's name alive and keep it going and his legacy. Something has to change, and we're here trying to make a change.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Touch and Rich. That is the voice of Marcus Smart, who obviously we've talked about this morning, and the great job that he and Enes Kanter, and I think Vincent Poirier was down there yesterday, and that's obviously on top of Jaylen Brown also driving down to Atlanta to make his voice known and the peaceful part of the protests. And A'Sherrod Blakely was actually with Marcus Smart yesterday. And A'Sherrod, as we know, covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. First of all, A'Sherrod, yesterday, from being there firsthand, what did you see and how it started, and how long were you there, and were you there when things took a turn?
I was there probably from about, it was late afternoon, early evening, like around maybe 6:30, 6:45. And at that point, you know, the sun was still out. It was very peaceful, very well organized, you know, people giving out masks and bottles of water and sanitizer. Obviously, you know, folks made their voices felt, but that's all it was. It was just people walking, being very demonstrative from a verbal standpoint. And I left around maybe 9 or so, maybe yeah, around 9, 8:45, 9-ish, something like that. And again, it was dark at that point, but there was nowhere close to the chaos that ensued. Like once I got in my car and started driving, and I started listening to the radio, and when I got home and turned on the TV, you know, the first thing I see is a car on fire. Very different than the protest environment that me and Marcus and his team and Vincent Poirier, who was with us as well, had been seeing during the day. So it was literally night and day from when I was there to when I got home as far as the protest was concerned.
How surprised were you? Because, I mean, you know, I told the story about how I put my kids to bed last night and I showed them, you know, video of it. And that was like at 8:30 or 8:45. And I'm like, this is, you know, look at what Boston's just, they do it right. Like, look at how great this is. And I was saying how much they love Marcus Smart. And I was like, here's Marcus Smart. Look at what he's been doing. And then it just flipped just right. Almost as soon as I put them to bed, like right after, you know, like right around 9 o'clock, as you said, was there any kind of looking back? Was there any kind of sense that it could turn to that, or did it seem like this just came out of nowhere?
It seemed like it came out of nowhere because, I mean, there were still, you know, people, you know, just steady stream of folks just walking, back and forth, and there was a police presence, and, you know, there was an occasional, you know, word exchange, but it was never, you never felt as though it was a situation that was escalating to something that could potentially get out of control. No one was arrested. No one was harassed as far as I saw. It was the kind of protest that, when you hear the word peaceful protest, this was like, you know, the cookie cutter image of just that. And so, again, like you, when I got home and I, like I said, first thing I did when I turned the TV on was see a car burning down, you know, not that far from, you know, where at one point I was walking. And it's just like, where the hell did that come from? But then you start looking at what's happening across the country, and it's like around that bewitching hour when stuff gets kind of crazy. And it's sad to see, because I mean that's just not what this is about. And you know, that was one of the things, you know, as I was walking with Marcus, you know, we talked about a lot of different things, but that was one of the things that we were really actually happy to see, that folks were out there, and they were out there in numbers, and they were being respectful of, you know, the businesses and the properties around them, and yet they were still making the point that they're tired of the issues, the societal issues that, you know, George Floyd's death has raised. And they wanted to make sure that, as Marcus said, and that bitch you played, he wants to have his voice heard, and they're pissed. And this was a great way, I thought, of just expressing that, but doing it in a constructive way. And then it gets dark, and then people go batty. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I got to think that it's one of those situations where, you know, you're in this group with a guy like Marcus Smart, and you've probably and it's weird too, because everyone has their face covered. So exactly. How long did it take for people to realize at first that you were with Marcus Smart? And then once they realized it was him, I have a feeling that he had quite a crowd around him. And did he I saw him speak to the press, but did he speak to the crowd or what was that?
No.
Like?
No, I mean, Marcus, I, as far as I could tell, I think I was the only one that Marcus spoke with. And Marcus was able to move about pretty anonymously for the most part. There were a few people that recognized him, but it was one of those things like, man, that guy kind of looks like Marcus Smart a little bit. But yeah, with the mask on, you can't really be for sure. But I think a couple people, when they saw him and then they saw me, and then they saw Poirier, who's 7 feet tall, they kind of put two and two together. But for the most part, he was able to move about, you know, pretty anonymously. And you know, Marcus, you know, the point that he, you know, made to me in our conversation during the walk was he just wanted to be out there and be supportive of this movement. And, you know, he talked a lot about just the Celtics supporting the players on this movement. And when you think about, he was out there, Vincent Poirier was out there, Ennis was out there, Jalen made that 15-hour trek back to Atlanta. I mean, it's unusual to see that number of young people being not just talking to talk, but actually doing action that shows their support. And I know there are a lot of NBA players who are out there doing different stuff, but I don't know if there's another team that has as many guys that have been as just really, you know, distinctively active in this movement now.
Well, if Marcus Smart was, you know, kind of trying to, like, dress somewhat low-key, Enes Kanter did the absolute opposite of that. He showed up in his own jersey. Yeah, he wore
you don't see that every day.
Celtics, Enes Kanter jersey.
Listen, if you spend some time around Enes Kanter, you do see that every day. That is definitely an Enes Kanter type of thing to do.
He probably takes it off. He probably wears it to the mall.
he's the best with that kind of stuff. I mean, he is proud to be a Celtic. I mean, there is absolutely no getting around that. And if you have a microphone anywhere within a 50-yard distance, Enes will find his way to it. And that's great because, I mean, this is one of those things that, you know, he's been, you know, fighting for you know, social justice, you know, for a long time. So this, him being out there is not a surprise. This is definitely in his wheelhouse of issues that he has a deep passion for. And, you know, when I saw the clips of him out there with the mic, I'm like, well, duh, that's Enes Kanter for you. This is what he does.
Hey, Sherrod, have you been in contact with Marcus since after you left him? I mean, do you know, did he leave the same time you did? Did he get out before the violence started? And if not, has he seen what went on after he left?
Yeah. Marcus and I, we were leaving at the exact same time. Like, him and his crew, they were going to get their vehicle, and then I left to go get mine. And so, yeah, we were both gone well before it got crazy like that. Which, in hindsight, you know, it didn't even dawn on me at that time that, you know, this is probably a really good time for us to leave. It was just that we did the walk and we were done. And so then we just went home, not thinking that the time in which we were getting ready to leave, that's when things would get as crazy as they did. And then when you look across the country, it's amazing how literally night and day the protests are. In daytime, things seem very peaceful, not many issues, and then at nighttime, you know, that's when the violence starts. And it does lend some credence to the fact that you might be looking at two different groups of protesting. There's the protesters in the day and then the rioters basically at night.
All right, so let's by the way, thanks for going out there. That was, you know, it was awesome. It was good to see those sound clips. And once again, if you couldn't like Marcus Smart anymore, it just gave you another of the thousand reasons why he's someone you want on this team. So basketball-wise, things are opening up. The Arbok Center, there are a million different conditions and rules to going and practicing out there. But, you know, one thing that is interesting is you've got people – like, who's not in town? Like, who didn't stay in town and who's going to have to travel back? Because doesn't that also add to some of the rules in order to go there? Don't you have to quarantine for 14 days before going there? Like, how does that affect the travel? Who's here and who isn't?
Well, actually, you know what? It helps them because, again, you can only have four guys in at a time, and it helps from a scheduling standpoint. But a lot of the guys, you know, stayed relatively close by. You know, I was talking with Poirier. You know, and he, you know, he has been here the entire time, and he's glad because had he gone back home, he may not have been able to get back into the country.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the guys stayed relatively close by to where, you know, it's just basically a short plane ride or you know, a decent drive back. So they're not going to have an issue with getting the gang back together. The biggest issue or challenge, I should say, is just really scheduling because you're gonna have a lot of guys in town pretty quickly. I mean, Enes Kanter, he got back in no time. And you just have to spread them out and make sure you got the assistant coaches and, you know, all the different I's that need to be dotted and T's to be crossed at practice now. I mean, it's pretty thorough. And it's going to be challenging, no question about it. But it's good to see them back, you know, get back in the building, get us work up a little sweat, hopefully, and this thing continues to trend in that direction, and we get basketball by the, you know, the end of June, end of July.
Hey, Sherrod, and it's a minor thing considering the bigger social issues, but Jaylen Brown, is he going to have to come back here in quarantine for 14 days before he practices?
See, I'm thinking he will because, you know, again, I watched the videos when he was the protest that he organized in Atlanta, and I think he will, but, you know, the way this is kind of evolving, guys are going to be tested pretty regularly, and yeah. I think that's the way they're going to kind of proceed with this. But I would think that he would want to quarantine for 14 days just to be on the safe side. Because, there were a lot of people there
yes.
at the protest that he helped, you know, put together. And that was great. And there's no question. No one will look back and say, damn, Jalen, why did you do that? No, you're not going to see that. But you have to be smart and careful about yourself and your teammates. And I think the safe and smart move would be for him to quarantine 14 days.
Are they going to – like, how are they going to come out of the box? I mean, once this whole thing starts, they're young, which is good. But, I mean, you know, they're also young, which can be bad because there's not as many veterans that might be – able to, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. What do you expect from the Celtics, this team in particular, when they come back?
Oh, I expect them to be like almost every other team, just real rusty. But because they're young, I think for them, the layoff isn't going to be as impactful as it is for folks who, let's just say, in their past have not exactly been great in conditioning themselves in the offseason. Okay. I know a lot of people are worried about Philadelphia, but I got to be honest, the idea that Joel Embiid has had like 3 months to himself, pretty much, I'm okay with that. I don't expect him to come back like this absolute Adonis or anything like that. We have seen absolutely nothing that leads you to believe that. He's a great player. I just don't think his conditioning is going to be great, whereas the Celtics, I think they'll be decent about it. I'm really curious. Jason Tatum is the guy that I'm most curious about. Because as you guys know and have talked about, you know, with him not having a hoop or frankly making a whole lot of effort to get a hoop for a really long time, I wonder how he's going to come out the gate shooting the ball. The rest of the guys, I think they're going to be fairly close to what they are, but Tatum, that's the one guy I just don't have a feel for.
Yeah, that's a good. How funny would it be if like one of them came back, like looking like one of the clumps, just said I'm eaten, and just like said this quarantine, I just gave up. I didn't do any workouts. Tatum's gonna be that's gonna be because he was so good and he was doing so well that I mean you can't expect that coming back. You can't expect that even in the playoffs. I don't think.
No, you would hope so, but I mean you know it. I mean it's like you know that guy at the. You know, at the blackjack table, who's rolling along, and then he decides to get up, and then next thing you know, he has to go to another table, and it's like, wait, yeah. Let me get back to my spot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can get back to just that rhythm that he was in before, but the flip side to that is that they'll have a healthier Kemba, and Kemba could potentially help them, you know, kind of get over that initial few games that they'll play until Tatum can get his rhythm back, but because they're going to need him. I mean, Tatum has to be the guy to carry them once they get to the playoffs because, again, we've seen the promise that he has. And if he can get close back to where he was, you know, the Celtics have a great shot of making a deep run.
Well, all I know is that if they do that East-West combination thing they've been talking about, there's a chance in the second round they could run into to the Clippers from everything I've seen from the seeding, which – I mean, listen, that would be awesome as a fan to watch, but as a Celtics fan, I don't want that at all.
Yeah, you don't want Philadelphia, the Clippers, and Milwaukee all in a row.
Murderer's Row, man.
That grouping, listen, you know, people talk about, well, do they want that smoke? Hell, that's not smoke. That's a five-alarm fire.
Philadelphia had the best home record in the NBA this year. I think they were 29-2.
Well, Philly's that weird team that all of a sudden could be really good. You know what I mean? Like, they make me nervous. But, I mean, the Clippers are the Clippers and the Bucks are the Bucks. Like, that road would just suck. Now, as I said, as an NBA fan, awesome. Like, give me Clippers Celtics second round, but as a guy who wants to see them do something,
that's a problem. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I'd rather see Philly, Toronto, Milwaukee. I can deal with that. That's a doable one, but I mean, you're right. I mean, a healthy Kawhi with Paul George, with Doc as the coach, and that bench, and Patrick Beverley, who's just the absolute pain in the ass players. Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want to see that.
Oh, man. Well, I just, you know what? I'm at the point where I don't even care if it's bad basketball, which it's probably going to be at the beginning. I just want basketball. So, and it sounds like it's going to be here sooner or later. The 31st, right? That's the day that they're apparently set to come back, July 31st, if everything works out. Well, Aisharod, thanks for everything this morning, and thanks for going down there. It was awesome giving Marcus Smart that coverage. It's great that people know what kind of guy he is, and hey, maybe we can actually talk real basketball games soon. That would be nice.
Oh, guys, let me just tell you, this call made the month. Because I don't know when the hell we will ever have anything to talk about that's relative to anything that we want to talk about. So this was the day. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it.
See you, Sharon. We'll talk to you soon. All right, we're running behind, and Dan's going to kill me. So here is Joe Murray's headlines.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray sitting in this morning. What's up, Joe?
About to rock out to that Alice in Chains, you know?
You know what? I listened to Dirt in its entirety this weekend.
Wow.
Front to back.
Favorite song on the album. What's yours?
I got to go with either the song Dirt or, Down in a Hole gets me every time. Yeah. Like, I've heard that song 1,000 times. And, It never doesn't give me chills. Down in a Hole, the lyrics, and you know what? To be honest, I'm not a big fan of of covers and people trying to cover things and make it their own. But Ryan Adams did a cover of Down in a Hole that is just perfect.
I've never heard of it. I got to listen to that.
It's perfect, and wow. I hate his cover of Wonderwall. He did that. First of all, I don't like Wonderwall anyway. I like Oasis. I've never liked Wonderwall, but Down in a Hole, those lyrics, and I'm not even a lyrics guy, and they.
They crush,
man.
And Jerry Cantrell and Allison and obviously Lane Staley. My favorite song on the album though is Junkhead.
Which is they opened with that when I saw them last.
Okay, and then but by the way, for those who are Godsmack fans, I just want to let everyone know that Alice in Chains actually made a song called Godsmack. They stole it and took it, and then the son that Godsmack uses was actually drawn by Lane Staley. So everything that Godsmack has ever done, they ripped off of Alice in Chains.
There you go.
I can't stand that band. not that I can't stand them. They're whatever. They're fine. Whatever. No pun intended. But the Alice in Chains is just, they're the best. When anyone talks about the grunge era and they throw Pearl Jam up there and even Nirvana, it's like Alice in Chains was the best band of that era. And to me, there was almost no question. And that album, and then to follow that up with Jar of Flies, which is like a complete opposite sound of what that one was, and it'd be just as perfect as Dirt, almost. Dirt's still their best. Mm-hmm. But pretty damn close, Jar of Flies is. They were the perfect band. And I got to be honest, out of all the musicians that have died over the past 20, 25 years or so, I think Lane Staley's was the one that I was most pissed because I just he had so much more good music, and I was pissed too that nobody even knew where he was. Nobody checked on him.
They only found him because there was $3,000 a week coming out of his bank account, and it stopped coming out of the account. And somebody called his family like, "Hey, you might want to go over and check on him." And
I didn't even know that.
I did a whole podcast on Alice in Chains one day. So check it out.
Did you really? What was it? It was just like an hour on Alice in Chains?
Yeah, it was actually episode one. Actually, it was the death of Kurt Cobain. And then obviously Lane Staley supposedly died 8 years later on the same day. And
All right.
I just went on a rant about it.
You and I have talked about me being on your just sitting here podcast or just just sitting there. I'd almost rather do it like if we had a very pinpoint like specific subject.
Okay.
Like if it was something like analyzing some random album or some random film.
Okay, we could do the Dirt album. We'll just do Dirt.
We're just going to talk about Alice in Chains' Dirt album?
Or all their albums. We can do whatever you want.
There it is.
Hell yeah.
That's a selling point right there.
Yeah. I had Big Jim Murray on. He was at the Alice in Chains Unplugged, and we did 40 minutes just on that.
Yeah. I mean, that's you want to talk about shows that you can brag about being to. And I guess that he was, obviously, Lane was a wreck. Wreck.
They had to give him
that.
Dentures to even sing.
And you listen to it, it's perfect.
Yep.
Like, it's once again, he was such a mess, but he was absolutely perfect. The new guy's pretty good, too. All right, that's a lot of Alice in Chains talk. And who knows when the hell we're going to get live music. Anyway, we're still waiting to find out whether Mott Motley Crue today. There's a press conference today. And I love it they just don't announce that they're having a press conference. So to me, I think that more than likely there's going to be something very strange that's not just we're canceling. I think it would be the funniest story ever if they just set up a residency in Florida. That's my prediction. Just, you know, why not? Because that's such a Motley Crue Hesher thing to do. Why not do that? You know, and then Poison will drop off the bill because, you know, Bret Michaels, you know, he's, you know, got like diabetes. You don't want to mess around. And then you got like Def Leppard. They're just like, hell no, dude, we're not going to go over in Florida. We're British. We're going to stay over here. And then, you know, Joan Jett's going to be like, sure, I'll do it for anything. And then they're going to have this like 14 date thing where people, you know, like from all over the country will go and gather in mass. And it'll be the only live show in America during the summer. That would be such a Motley Crue thing to do, but that's probably more than likely not going to happen. But you know, when it comes to these big crowds, I don't know if you saw this, but Kevin, there was a rumor that came out. It was a tweet. I don't even know who tweeted it, but a couple people had retweeted it, and you know how that works. Sometimes that becomes like it catches on, and there was this rumor about how the TD Garden wasn't going to let people in until there was like a cure for the coronavirus, and that ended up being proven wrong. And Kevin Paul DuPont actually contacted the people at Delaware North, or the owner of the garden, and talked to them. Hey, what's going on? Like, what is your plan for when you're going to be able to get crowds back in here? And according to this article, in the next like week and a half to 2 weeks, they're going to have this like Safer Stadia study that's been wrapped up that's basically going to set and mold the way you are going to see live events at the TD Garden. This is all from Kevin Paul DuPont. He talked to these people, and some of it's to be expected. Like, there's going to be something, according to this article, that they're discussing called controlled entry. That means to avoid like a huge crush at the door, the gates are going to open earlier, perhaps even 3 hours ahead of game time. I think that's an hour earlier, right? Isn't it only like usually 2 hours before game time?
Yeah.
That the doors open?
Yes.
Okay. So there's additional hour. Then there's going to be something, according to this, that they're discussing, which is an entry time that's reserved. It's almost like when you go on an airplane and, you know, you like section A or section B, and they let you in just a group at a time. So it's going to be a 15-minute window when to arrive at a particular gate, and that's going to let you in to, I guess, keep everything from getting crammed. They also said that unless a vaccine is developed, the sellout days of 18,000 people is going to be over. They're calling it the Safer Stadia Initiative, which means there'd be a maximum of 12,000 to 14,000 fans in the building.
How do you social distance with only 4,000 taken out of the crowd?
I don't know. I mean, that's an excellent question.
I would think if you're going to do it, you have to have fewer people in there. Half at most, right? If you're going to socially distance people.
I think at this stage, social distancing is going to be defined differently. Like, it might not be the 6 feet at this point that they're planning on launching this. I think it's more of everyone's required to wear masks.
Well, if you're going to do that, then let everyone in. I mean, it's taking 4,000 out of an 18,000-seat arena doesn't really seem to accomplish all that much one way or the other, does it?
No, it doesn't. But taking a third out, which would be the 12,000.
That's fine.
That probably makes a difference.
Yeah, but if it's 14 or higher, you just let everybody in. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to do it any other way.
And the wearing of masks, according to this article, they are discussing it being mandatory. All building staff, ushers, people who run the concession stands, fans, anyone in there. other than when they're eating or drinking, they're going to be required to wear masks. The body temperature readings are here to stay. That's something that is going to happen, and it's going to be a regular thing. And you know, when people talk about the new normal, that's just going to happen everywhere. And you know what, to be quite honest, I don't have a problem with that, because it doesn't seem like it slows things too much as people are walking through. I've seen Disneyland Shanghai, there was a special on how they opened up and how they were using the temperature scan. It's just as simple as you walk through, there's a camera filming you, and then above your head, it pops the number of what your temperature is. And I believe it's just that simple. And
if anyone... My question, sorry to interrupt, Rich, but I've often wondered about this. If you are going to do a body scan of someone's temperature, how do you adjust for hot summer? Like Disney World is opening up again, much to Dan Roach's delight, in a couple in when? June 11th? July 11th?
Yeah, July 11th.
July
11th. Remember the day he gets his Slurpee, 7-Eleven, which he thought for years that it was because it was his birthday, but it's because they give everyone a free Slurpee.
And it's not, yes. So in Florida, in the middle of July, it's a billion degrees. How do you adjust for that?
Dude, you're asking me science questions. I have no idea. I don't know if your body even heats up that much.
Okay.
Like if you're in the sun, does your body like are you now 100 degrees? I don't think so. I have no idea. But I mean, they're using it, so I guess it should be fairly minimal if they continue to use it even in hot weather places. On top of that, there's going to be a bunch of new things around the. It says that there's going to be different things about the concession stands, but they really aren't, according to this, changing much operationally. There were talk about people like bringing the food to the seats. It sounds like, according to this article from Kevin Paul DuPont, that's not really going to change, except the fact that there's a smaller attendance, like number of people waiting in line, which means less volume. I don't know. That almost seems like that would be the toughest place to avoid not getting crammed in those terminals,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of the concourse. On top of that, you know, if you've ever been lucky enough to be into one of the like suites that they've got where they have a buffet style set up, I think that's a thing of the past and that's going to go away. So the big, like, gigantic trough of popcorn that everyone I think like dips into.
No more station get-togethers in the suite.
Dude, I actually brought this up.
Oh, and wrestling events. You guys are screwed.
Oh, yeah,
right. You know what they did at WWE? They have hockey shields now. You know, like when you do the glass?
Yeah.
They have glass up and down the aisles now, so no more high fives. No more high fives to the wrestlers. I can't say, hey, you know, like Daniel Bryan and Jay Stu, no more.
Jimmy Stewart's going to be pissed. He sits separate from you guys specifically for that.
Yeah, but you know what's out now, though? Like, you ever go to a game and it's like, yeah, I get two hot dogs, and then, like, they pass it down? Like, remember the Naked Gun, the Queen's, like,
yeah,
holding the food?
Yeah.
That is now out.
Yeah,
like, that will never happen again.
Yeah,
it's a good point. I mean, Fenway, that's a staple, you know?
But think about it, Rich. I mean, how many stories have we heard about Murray in one suite and Jay Stu in another suite and, you know, hopping back and forth to get food, and Sarge is not allowed in one place, but he's allowed in another
or
place.
Nick.
I mean, or Nick, that's right, or Nick. Nick gets shut out of the food trough. All of that's out. It's out.
And who knows, you know, even like afterwards, you know, when you guys all roll down to Kowloon and he puts it out buffet style, when the crew rolls in, are you going to be able to do that anymore? I don't think so.
I don't know. Well, the phase 2 is coming up, so we'll be able to eat outside. I can't wait.
Sweet, sweet phase 2. That's when the car hop opens, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Though my pocket may be empty.
I don't know. I mean, that's going to be the best. I just want you to live stream it the first time you're there.
I might do that.
If only I could find Kowloon information from Sports Hub employees. It's like water in a desert. It's just nowhere to be found. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll be back. There we go.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.